It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with verse 18 today. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. So please open your Bibles and follow along if you can. If not, please just listen and enjoy the study today. We are enjoying that study, and it's brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, we have many studies up there, our Constitution, the Plan of Salvation. Please look at the study and enjoy it and learn and grow from it. Come to know the Lord Jesus through it. And you'll find that at parkviewbiblechurch.org. parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can send us an email to parkviewbible@gmail.com. That's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either address will be just fine. So please that you enjoy the study today, and let us know if you enjoy it. And so please, it's a joy to give the Word of God to bring folks to salvation and then also to help them and watch them grow. Romans chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 18, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." What a wonderful scripture text to study today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can enjoy this study. Just please guide and lead us just each step of the way. It's so wonderful to be able to read your word and knowing that when your word is read and it goes across the airways and people are able to listen and to hear, that they have the opportunity then to accept these precious words. Believe by faith that salvation comes only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, as Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to save us and then gloriously rose again. And so please, as we look each day, Father, to serve you and to walk with you and to grow, that through these programs that can help folks to do just that, draw closer to you, Father, please. Just touch every heart today with these precious words. Bring them to the saving grace that you offer as a free gift, and then guide and lead them each and every day through this life and on into the next. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been looking at this time of going back and forth with the folks desiring to work their way to please God, or work their way to heaven, whichever way that you want to to explain it. Most people, I think they probably are working their way to heaven. But they need to understand that heaven is where God lives and reigns, and no one can arrive there, no one can get there without having their sin taken care of, because there is no sin allowed in heaven. And so we need to take care of our sin. And it's not just a matter of getting to heaven. It's also that, more important than that, is that we please God. And when we please God, then heaven is a benefit. It's a second. But please, that we repair this broken relationship that we have with our God. In God's eyes, we're a lost and condemned sinner. The wages of sin is death. And so there's nothing we can do with our labor or our thinking or our speaking. There's nothing that we can do that can satisfy our God. There's nothing. But people continue, and all through this text that we've been reading now for the last few weeks covers circumcision. Today we would probably replace that with baptism, because many places believe you must be baptized to be saved. Many people believe that the Holy Spirit comes into your heart when you're baptized as an infant. That none of that is found in the Word of God, and so that's my authority. That's what we look to direct us. And it's so simple. We find that in the past generations, all the way back to when the Jews walked on this earth with the Lord Jesus, when he was here, and they were in Jerusalem and controlled by Rome, and Jesus was there showing that he was God in all the miracles that he performed. At that time, and all ever since then, especially Israel or the Jews, have depended more upon their traditions than they have upon the truth, the Word of God. And many churches have followed that same direction. It is so simple just to go to the Word of God and let the Word of God and the power of the Word of God go forth and convict hearts, save souls, and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus, instead of getting it all mixed up with works. And they give a wonderful example here, and that example is the man Abraham. Abraham was 100 years old, and we can back up a little bit here, because, you know, it even goes through the circumcision and the law, because the circumcision and the law didn't exist when God told Abraham to leave Ur of Chaldees and go to a land that is promised to his generations, to his descendants. And he walked by faith right out of the land, left all of his family, and most of his family, should have left all of them. And as he left and went to a foreign land to him, but a promised land to him, he believed God by faith. And the promise was that you would be, your descendants would be as the sand upon the seashore or the stars in the sky. And yet Abraham had no children. And yes, from time to time, Abraham tried to make a reason. He tried to reason it out. One was his servant's son. That was customary of the day. That's what the world would do. If you didn't have any children, then you would take the servant's son, and he would be your heir. And God said no. And then he tried the thing with Hagar and Ishmael, and God said no. He said, trust me. And so, yes, our faith from time to time, as Abraham's, becomes weak. But Abraham continued to grow. And he came to a place in his life when he was almost 100 years old. And God had made that promise over and over again, that I will give you a seed through you and Sarah. And so that's kind of where we're picking up here. But as we look up here in the 16th verse of the fourth chapter, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So you see, it includes the Gentiles and the Jews. All come by faith. The Jews believe that they are ahead of the game because God came. They're the promised people, and they have missed so many blessings by not listening to the Word of God and looking to all the traditions of those people. We've done the same thing. When our churches have left the Word of God and went into traditions that we're used to, maybe baptism as an infant, depending upon church membership, well, that's what my father did, that's what my grandfather did, that's good enough for me. Well, if that's all your father and your grandfather depended upon, they are in the pits of hell today. So please. Now you say, well, if that's the case, then I want to go there too. No, you don't. No, you don't. We referred to it many times, that rich man that went into the pits of hell, and he wanted to be able to have somebody just dip their fingers in water and touch my tongue. And then they said, would you please send Lazarus back up? Would you send him back up to testify? Because they'll believe a man that's raised from the dead. And they said, no, they won't. They didn't believe the prophets. They won't believe a man that's raised from the dead. They won't believe it. And he wanted anything for his brothers not to be down there. So if your family members have already died and they've died without coming to Jesus Christ and owning that personal relationship that we can have, if they have not done that, then please take care of yourself and those that follow you. Bring them to Jesus so they don't follow that same horrible path. Please. And Abraham here, it says, faith of Abraham. Now let's look at verse 17. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He had no family. He had no children. Look at verse 19. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. No way he could have children. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was 10 years younger, she was 90. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now we're going to stop there just for a little bit. That's down at verse 21 of chapter 4. His faith made him fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90, had no children. Both of them way past childbearing years. No hope of having a child humanly possible. God said, I promise. And see, God does miracles like that all the time. He performs miracles when it's beyond human understanding. No way that physically this can take place. But Abraham believed God. He believed him. Now, we can take these same words, because you need to know that whatever he promises, he will perform. He will produce that promise. He'll follow through with that promise. And when he tells us, whosoever shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, shall be saved, believe it. When he had the conversation with Nicodemus, you hear me say these over and over again, but it's just the simple, clear messages. It's messages that need to be repeated over and over again until you come by faith to Jesus Christ. There was many years ago, there was a preacher that was called to a church. he preached a beautiful message. That message was, you must be born again. And they called that preacher to that church, and that man stood up that morning, and he preached that message, and he preached it again. You must be born again, from John chapter 3. And the second week, he got up, and he preached it again. You must be born again. And the third week, he did the same. You must be born again. And finally, why, the church elders, the deacons, they came to him, and they said, you know, we love that message, but why do you keep preaching the same message? And he said, because ye must be born again. You see, you can't move on till you're saved, till you're born again. And Abraham here came by faith to Jesus. He believed in Jesus. Now, we're some almost 2,000 years before Jesus come to earth. 2,000 years. But it didn't matter, because Abraham knew what God promised would come to pass. And that blessing that was going to come out of Abraham was the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. What a promise. From Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. And as we come through to Jacob, and then his name was changed to Israel. And Jacob had a son, and his son's name was Judah. And the line comes through Judah all the way to Jesus. Now, Jesus was fathered by the Holy Spirit. But that line came through Judah. Now, please, please believe that he was virgin born. He didn't have the same old cursed blood we do. And he was born on this earth. He took on flesh. He lived with this flesh on this earth for 33 years. Completed everything. Fulfilled the law in every way. And then he died on the cross to take my sins and your sins away. Abraham believed that. He believed that. How much of this was spoken to him, we don't know. But he was very, when he offers his son a little later, and I believe it to be about 30 plus years later, when he offers his son, I believe that he thought that he could and would raise his son from the dead. He was being obedient. His faith became nothing but stronger. And when it says in this verse of Scripture, what he had promised is able also to perform. Don't doubt God. Don't question God. He tells us to be born again. He calls for us to confess our sin and ask Jesus to come into our hearts and save us. And if you truly mean that you're a sinner and you turn to Jesus and call upon him to save you, he will. And in the person, the third person of the Holy Spirit, will come into your heart and live there eternally. And you will be saved forever. Saved forever. Never lose your salvation. Yes, you've got your place in heaven, but that's not as important as living each day for the Lord Jesus and for God the Father here. We have peace and joy. Abraham believed God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. We need to do the same each day, knowing Jesus saved us, and no matter what heartache or tribulation might come, we're going to serve him and we're going to walk with him, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was reckoned. It was put to the account of. You see, that's what happens when we trust in Jesus. We come under this, the offering, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that was offered upon Calvary. When that offering was made, all the offerings that Abraham made, all the offerings that Adam and all through the time was given, should have been given for the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross of Calvary. He's going to shed his blood there. An innocent sacrifice must die. And Abraham knew that. And when he offered sacrifices, those sacrifices, and the scripture tells us that he offered burnt offerings. Now, to offer a burnt offering is a sin offering. You see, Abraham knew he was a sinner, knew he needed a Savior, and he knew there was a Savior coming, and that's all he needed to know. And he believed God that he was able to perform everything. And therefore, it was imputed. It was put to his account to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Now, verse 24, but to us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. What beautiful words. We too. Jesus came to the cross 2,000 years ago. Abraham was looking forward that approximately that same period of time. It doesn't matter. We're all saved the same way. We're saved by faith. Saved by faith. And then we have that word therefore in chapter 5, because that pulls it all together. You see, when we believe as Abraham did, believe that he is able. He was able to perform a miracle to give him a son. Oh, what a miracle. He didn't, even though he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, he didn't question that. He stood there. He stood for that and gave God the glory. Now, we need to do the same. We need to come by faith to Jesus, realize that we're an awful, wretched old sinner, and we need Jesus as our Savior. Believe that today. Call upon him today, please. And this word, therefore, being justified by faith, you see, we're justified. There in this fifth chapter, and we read down through verse 5, verse 6, but we are going to, we've got down through the 11th verse that really deals with this justification. So, that you know, we've got a little bit of time today, but we're not going to be able to really spend as much time as I would like to in that area. But this justification, the righteousness imputed to us by Almighty God through Jesus Christ his Son, brings the seven results that we're going to look at here in the verses from verse 1 to 11. And these have been brought forward and are easy to see. We're going to list those, and then we're going to kind of back up here and look at these verses of Scripture and continue a little bit with the end of chapter 4 first. But as we look, we see that in verse 1, we have peace with God. That's what this justification, the righteousness imputed to us. Please understand that. We are given that. It's put to our account. That only comes through Jesus Christ. No one else can do it. You can't do it. No other little God can do it out there. Only the risen Jesus. And there's only one. Many people believe that there are multiple gods and multiple saviors of whatever world there is. No. No. God Almighty is only one. Jehovah, period, one. There is one Son, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. There is only one Holy Spirit, period. And don't go beyond that. No, if you're in a religion that believes contrary to that, I'm going to ask you to go to the Word of God and read through the Gospel of John prayerfully. Read through the Gospel of John. Come into Romans here and look through Romans there, because it will show you. You can open up the precious word, and if you truly want to be saved and want the truth, ask God to show you, and he will. He will show you what you need to see, what you need to have to be born again. I ask you to do that today. Don't be scared to do that. Don't be afraid to do that. But do it, because then you'll have the peace with God, as it says here. Also, it comes In verse 2, we have access into grace. And also in verse 2, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have the ability, when we're born again, to glory in tribulation. We need to realize that in the fifth verse it says, God's love is shed abroad in our hearts. What a wonderful promise that we have. Remember what Abraham said? Being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he was able to perform. Stand with that. Hold on to that. We realize in the fifth chapter that the Holy Ghost is given to us. What did we just say happens when you believe in Jesus Christ? And then all the way over to verse 11, we also joy in God, as the Scripture tells us. Wonderful. Now this therefore ties in again the fourth chapter. Now we have studied this fourth chapter. We've enjoyed the study of this fourth chapter. But as we look at this, we need to see that in the first eight verses of the fourth chapter, we realize it's not by works. Let me just read here, and I don't know if we're going to get through them all or not, but we'll try. Verse 1 of chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had wherefore to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, puts to our account, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We need to realize that Jesus Christ saved us. You see, so as we pull in therefore in the first verse of chapter 5, therefore not by works, because we're justified by faith, that first verse says. Justified by faith. Now let's take a look at the next section there. We're not justified by ordinances. In verse 9 of chapter 4, cometh this blessedness then unto circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And verse 12, in closing this section, the father of circumcision to them who are not circumcised only, but who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So you see, it's not baptism, it's not circumcision, it's not church membership. It is believing by faith in Jesus Christ that he died for you. Knowing, you've got to recognize that you're a lost, rotten old sinner, and you are. I was. I'm still in the flesh, but I have Jesus Christ in my heart, and I walk every day with him. Now the next section is from verse 13 all the way to verse 22, and that is speaking of the law. You see, so it depends. It starts with the works, then it looks at the ordinances like baptism or circumcision, things like that. And then it closes with the law, because people want to keep the law. If I can keep the law, then I'll satisfy my God. No, Abraham knew he could not, and he believed by faith in the coming Lord Jesus. Now, we're going to read this next section next time we're together, because I want to read that and confirm once again. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1, chapter 5. Now, please, look to the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Ask Him to show you salvation, and He will. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?